my wife was sitting here and Tim and Lynette were sitting there, not in this church, but at the firm there where I did the Easter message. So it's good to see a few more people to speak to. Dana prayed and asked that the Lord would speak to me. He has done that. And I trust that the Holy Spirit works to speak through me this morning in this message. I'd like to turn to the book of John, chapter 5, a very interesting story here of a man who Jesus touched and healed. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. It doesn't say which feast, but it likely was Passover feast, according to what I read. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, which means house of mercy, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Now, you know what the word impotent means? Potent means powerful. You put the M in front, it means not powerful. They'd lost their power. They were weak. Okay? So, for whatever reason, they were not able to perform life in what we would call a normal function, because of blindness, because of lameness, because of paralysis. Their muscles had withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. So here's these five sections of, they call it porches here. It's kind of a shelter thing there. And they're full of these people. And all of them are waiting for this time when the angel comes down and stirs the water. And whoever is the first one to get into the water after that is healed. Doesn't matter what they have. Doesn't matter how long they've been there. Nothing. They're healed. In verse 5, a certain man was there. And I think it's interesting how he says that. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be well? Well, you say, that's kind of a stupid question. Anybody wants to be well. The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath, and the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he said, The one that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. And you go on there and you find out that Jesus, the Jews actually had said they're persecuting. Oh, I didn't get a mic. I better stay here. I forgot about all of that. So the Jews actually began to persecute Jesus, it says here. And that's interesting. Now, I'm going to do something just a little bit different this morning than what I normally do. And tell you what, why don't somebody bring me a handheld mic? I would be more comfortable if I can kind of move around a little bit. All right, yeah, lapel mic will work too, sure. So what I'm going to do something just a little bit different. Normally I ask questions at this time. But this morning, I want to just have a little story. And this story is a made-up story. It's supposed to be this man telling his story. Okay? We are not told anything about this man. There was a certain man. He was impotent. He'd been impotent here. He'd laid in bed for 38 years. So you can take your imagination and you can put the story together however you want to. So I put a little story together here this morning for us, and just to get us thinking a little bit. Okay, we good to go, Brent? All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. So my name is Simeon. I want to tell you a little bit about my life. I'm 54 years old. I'm getting married in 3 weeks. And I'm so excited. You see me today, but what you see today is not what I've always been. Let me just tell you a little bit about my life story. I was born into a Jewish family, a fine family. My parents were faithful Jews. They were some of the remnant that remained at this time. Many Jews had left the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but my parents continued faithful. I was their youngest child, and I grew up in a happy home. I did well in school, in my classes. By the time I was 12, I was able to quote the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the writings of Moses, like all good Jewish boys. I would run and play and have a wonderful time with my friends. I began to be able to do some work. And when I turned 16, all of a sudden, one day, I had an awful pain in my leg. And my mother said, well, that's probably just growing pains. But as the days went on, it didn't get better. It got worse. And then my other leg started to hurt as well. And one day when we had some guests and I was helping my mother, I was carrying a pitcher, one of her best pitchers, and I stumbled and fell, and the pitcher was broken and made an awful mess in front of the guests. Things got worse. Before I reached age 17, I was no longer able to walk. I had to be helped wherever I wanted to go. As things continued, it not only affected my leg, but it affected other parts of my body. And I was in a position where I could only lay on my mat unless someone came and helped me. My mother was not so well, and my care became too much for my parents. And so I was put at the mercy of those around me, and I was placed into this house of mercy. And as I was there, I began to learn some things about people. There were those people who would come by, and they would look at me, and they would shake their head, and you'd see a tear form in their eye, and they'd feel sorry for me. There were other people who looked at me with disgust. You obviously are cursed by God. There's something in your life that God is not happy with. And there were even those people who were downright mean. Actually hurt me. And I laid there, and I thought about some of the things that I had memorized. And I thought about the God The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I thought about how he had told Moses, I am the Lord God, merciful and gracious. And I said, oh God, have mercy on me. And I continued to lay there. And as I laid there, I saw an amazing thing happen. Certain times of the year, no one knew when, all of a sudden, the water stirred in the pool. And whoever got into it first was healed. And they could leave and go back to normal life. And I tried so hard to get to the water. But I couldn't make it. There was nobody to help me. And somebody always got there first. I laid there year after year after year after year. My mother died. Things were not good. And one day, as I lay there, a man walked up to me. I've never seen such a kind face. I've never seen so much love. And he looked down at me, just like he had come there for me. Just for me. And he said, would you like to be well? Would I like to be well? Oh, but sir, you don't understand. I want to be well so bad, but there it's just not possible. I don't have anyone to help me, and I cannot get into the water soon enough. But he looked at me and he said, take up your bed and walk. And I thought to myself, how can I do this? But the way he said it, I had no choice. I stood to my feet. They held me. My arms were restored, and I took up my bed, and I walked. And today, I am whole. My life has been restored because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. You do your own imagining. Take your own story and think about what this might have been like. That may have not been anywhere close to what actually happened. But, you know, we read these stories and we think, yeah, big deal. But we've been limited in a few things in life for a few weeks. This man was limited to his bed for 38 years. And I want us to think about that this morning. There's some things that I want us to think about that are very interesting. Something you might like to study on your own. I'll give you a caution in it. There's a lot out there, but there's a lot of New Age and stuff that's a little shady related to this, so be careful what you read, but there is a lot there. It's Bethesda, the house of mercy. Here's this house of mercy. There's five porches here. And I got thinking, five. I hadn't really studied the number five, but the number five is an interesting number. It's found 318 times in the Bible. And the meaning, the understanding of the number five is the number of grace. You look in 1 Kings there, chapter 6. He describes the cherubims. It says the cherubims, their wings were 5 cubits long. Each wing was 5 cubits. And the one wing stretched out to the wall on this side, and the other wing stretched out to the cherubim next to him, and that cherubim was the same thing. 5 cubits, 5 cubits. And the cherubim were 10 cubits tall. Now, what did the cherubims overshadow? The mercy seat. So under their wings, here in the middle, between the two cherubims, was the mercy seat. Fascinating. The altar was 5 cubits by 5 cubits. There were 5 curtains that hung for the holy place. One on each side, one in the front and the back, and one in the middle to separate the most holy place. So there's just so much in the Bible. David had 5 stones with which he met Goliath. And it's the symbolism there is that it was only by grace. There is no human way possible that David could have met that Goliath, that giant, and overcome him. Humanly impossible. But by the grace of God, it happened. Something else interesting. How many fingers do you have on your hands normally? 5. And how many toes on each foot normally? And how many senses do you have? 5. Grace is all over us. We are living in grace. So that's just kind of an interesting side note here that we could look at. And you may want to do a little bit more studying on that. I found it fascinating. I find it interesting that he comes to a certain man. Now there's this great multitude. There's all these people with all these sicknesses and all this stuff going on. And Jesus comes walking through there, and he comes right to this man, this certain man. There's something there that I find also fascinating, very interesting, and very important. And that is that God knows who I am. I matter to him. I'm important to him. He's looking. He's paying attention. And he especially looks for those whose heart is turned toward him. And we have no idea why God chose this man at this time. The Bible doesn't give us any indication. Only by the grace of God that he chose this man. And he asked him this question: will you be made whole? One of the things that we've been encouraged to do during this time of sheltering is to seek the face of the Lord, to pray for revival, to desire God to move and work in our hearts, in our lives. And there's a question that comes here that kind of haunts me, and that is this: what do I want? What do I really, really want? Do I want life to go back to normal? Or do I want something more than what I've had before? Do I want to only be well? Or do I want to be made whole? You see, there's a difference. When Jesus healed the 10 lepers, the scripture doesn't say this specifically, but it kind of implies it. Jesus healed those 10 lepers. They left, and one came back and thanked him. And it says there that you will be made whole. And I always like to think of it this way. The lepers, the 9 lepers, when they went and showed themselves to the priest, the parts of their body that were missing were still missing. The leprosy was gone. They were not going to keep losing body parts. The leprosy was gone. They were healed. But this man, his body parts were restored. He was made whole. I can't stand and say absolutely that's the way it is, but I read it and it gives me that indication. And I see that in this man. When you looked at this man laying on the bed and you looked at this man standing up, you said, wait a minute, is that the same guy? Is this the same one or not? Because God touched his life and changed him. So again, I ask you, what do you want? Do you want to come out of this time only well, back to normal, or do you want to be made whole? So Jesus asked this man, do you want to be made whole? And his answer was in his response. So Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. If he wanted to be whole, he was going to rise and take up his bed and walk. In spite of all the doubts that plagued him, in spite of all the things that went through his mind, he was going to listen. He was going to obey. One of the things I've noticed lately in my preaching is I often feel very strongly that the Lord is leading me to speak about something. And as the time gets closer, the doubts start pushing in. Pushing in, pushing in. And it's a pretty clear indication to me that I'm on the right track. I'm going where I'm supposed to go. That happened again the last few days. So I'm asking us, what do we want? What do we really want? Now this man says, I have no one to help me. His struggle was that he was looking, and in that condition we can't fault the man. The only thing that he could see humanly for him to receive help was for someone to take him and carry him and touch him into the water as the first one. In his mind, that was the only possibility of restoration and wholeness. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. And in Psalm 142, verse 4, he says, I looked around. There was no one that cared for my soul. But Jesus cares.
Jesus is there. He knows. He cares. He's watching. And so Jesus tells him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Now, there's several things here that I want us to pay attention to. One of these is the fact that Matthew tells us in chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, there is a different setting, but it says, when the even was come, when it was evening, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word. He healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Be careful when you try to say that Isaiah 53 is talking about spiritual healing. You're not being consistent with the text and with what Jesus himself said and did. This was fulfilled by him physically healing people. And a while back I had shared this, and when I had talked about Isaiah 53, and I want to share this again. Just remember this. There is no healing possible apart from the work of Jesus Christ. None. If it were not for what Jesus did, there would be no healing possible. However that applies, and we'll look at that a little bit more here. Are we okay with God doing something different for me than he does for you, or you than me? Are we okay with that? Are you okay with the fact that you are able to walk and get around and be well, and that man laid in his bed for 38 years? That's not so hard to be okay with, is it? Because it's not me. If I'm the guy in the bed, am I okay with it? If I'm the multitude that's there in that place around that pool, and I'm watching and I see Jesus come and touch that man and raise him up, and that man is restored and goes out whole, carrying his bed, and I'm still laying there, am I okay with that? If I'm the guy, one of the six, that's arrested and tortured for my faith, and the others go free back to their life, everyday life, am I okay with that? My wife and I were talking about this a little bit this week. Am I God, or is God God? Is it all about what I think should happen, or is it about what he plans and what he wants to do? That's a lesson I think we can learn from this story. The main lesson that I want us to learn this morning, I'll try to get this finished up here pretty quickly, but I want us to think about this. Because this is a picture, when we look at this picture, and we see this crowd of sick people around the pool in this house of mercy, it's a picture of us. Every one of us is powerless, impotent in whatever way without the touch of the Master's hand. I don't know if you see yourself that way or not. It's interesting This word impotent for this man here is the exact same word in James chapter 5 where he says, is anyone sick among you? So the sick there in James 5 has to do with weakness, impotence. It's not just about whether I've got cancer or whether I've got back pain or whatever problems I might be having. That's not what James is talking about. And the bottom line. The bottom line is the power with you, or do you recognize that you have no power? You're weak. There's two verses that came to my mind. They're up here, both of them, in relation to impotence, in relation to receiving power. In James chapter 5 again, where we call for the elders of the church and they pray over us, anoint us with oil, and we're raised up in the power of God. And in Acts 1:8, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses. You'll be fruitful. You'll bring forth fruit unto God. Because of the power of Jesus Christ in your life. How could this man walk? How could he walk? By the power of Jesus. There was no other way. It was not going to happen unless God touched his life. And unless God touches your life and my life, we are not going to be able to accomplish his work. We're not going to be able to take up that bed. And I'd like to ask you this morning, what bed are you laying in because of your powerlessness? Are you laying in a bed of lust? Are you laying in a bed of bitterness? Are you laying in a bed of shame? Are you laying in a bed of the past? Well, that's just the way I've always been. What if that man, when Jesus came to him and said, do you want to be made whole? He would have said, well, I've been this way for 38 years. I guess I can make it for 38 more. You know what? That's what we do as Christians. Too many times. God comes, and he comes to us, a certain man, a certain person, and he speaks to us. He wants to touch our hearts. He wants to touch our lives. He wants to raise us up in power to take the weakness out of our life so that we are no longer bound to our bed, but we're carrying our bed. And our bed becomes a testimony of what he's done in our lives. That's what he wants to do with us. And as long as we keep hanging on to that bed and saying, this is my security blanket, I know how to live here, I know how to make it with this, it's not happening. But when we recognize that bed that we're laying in is because of the weakness of the flesh, and we need to live in the power of the Spirit, and we say, oh God, I want to be made whole. I need your power. I need your strength. Then revival comes. Then God comes and he meets us. And he raises us up, and we become a testimony. A testimony to all mankind, even to the religious people. It's interesting, the Jews said, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Well, you know what? Go back into the Old Testament and find for me where it says that they couldn't carry their bed on the Sabbath. It wasn't God's law, it was man's law. We got to be careful because we tend to do that. We tend to make God say a lot of things that he never said. Let's be careful about that. God's view is toward what you will become, not what you were, not what you are. Doesn't mean he doesn't see those things, but when he looks at you, when he looks at me, he is seeing what we can be in Christ. And when Jesus looked at that man and asked him, "Do you want to be whole?" Do you know what Jesus was seeing? He wasn't seeing the man laying there in his bed. He was seeing the man carrying his bed. And that's the way God looks at you and I. And that's what he wants to happen in our lives. It's what he's longing. We have the choice. Are we going to lay in our bed? Or are we going to follow the instructions of the Lord and rise up and be men of God, women of God, following him? Walking in, you say, "I can't." Of course you can't. That's the whole point. You can't get out of that bitterness. You can't get out of that unforgiveness. You can't get out of that lust. You can't get out of any of those things, that shame, that guilt, all of those things in the past. You cannot get out of them without the touch of Jesus Christ. But when he touches you, power comes into your life. Your legs are able to walk. Your hands are able to move. Your eyes are able to see. And you're able to be a testimony of the grace of God. Made whole. Ah, what a difference. The man laying in his bed or the man carrying his bed. What about you and me? What are people going to see? What's going to happen in your life and mine during this time as we seek the Lord? Are we just looking to get back to normal? Or are we looking to get beyond normal? To be where God wants us to really be? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. If it was not for your grace, O Lord, we would have no opportunity whatsoever. We would only be able to continue to live in our sin, in our wretchedness, in our powerlessness, in our misery. No man is able to help us. Only you, O God. It's only as you reach down in your grace and we respond in faith and rise up according to your word that we are healed, that we are made whole, that we are powerful and able to stand against all the accusations and all the questions that might come our way. We thank you for this lesson from your word. We pray your Spirit drive it deep into our hearts. Remind us, O Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.